Romans 11, 11. Romans 11.
Amen.
11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being wild olive, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore the goodness of the severity of God on them which fell, severity, but towards thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Wow, that's a lot of scripture, isn't it? But it takes that much probably to bring out the message that I feel that the Lord would have us hear this morning. If we hear with the spiritual ear, he's talking here about the Jewish nation and how they did stumble. Some of the Jews, not all, were set aside. They were, through disobedience, in not accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, they had been set aside. Not all. There was a few that did believe in Jesus. But the majority of the nation of Israel has been set aside. Not permanently, but just for a time. As they were set aside, it made possible that the Gentile nation could hear the Word of God. Before the nation of Israel was set aside, the Gentile nation was an enemy. They were not believers. They did not honor God. And so they were actually doomed. is the Gentile nation that I'm talking about, which is you and I. We were condemned for unbelief. We were not the chosen nation. We were not the chosen people. But the chosen people got a little bit high-minded, we might say, and they kind of got the uppity-ups. And they got to thinking that they knew it all. And when Christ come, they missed it. When he came to deliver this world out of sin, they were so religious, so set in their way, so sure that they missed it. They dismissed Jesus Christ as the Messiah. In doing so, they did not lose salvation. They did not lose Almighty God. They were just temporarily set aside for a time where they are yet this day. Then in doing so, as they were set aside, then Paul came along and he wrote this letter, and he was talking about him preaching to the Gentile nations. He said that he was the messenger to the Gentile people, to you and I. And as he was bringing this message, it was a complete difference. You know, we say today, well, we've done things this way for since we've been little, you know, and we don't want any changes. Well, I'll guarantee you one thing. When Paul came along and he started preaching to the Gentile nation and offering salvation to the enemy, that was a change. And you know, when we think about that, we say, well, that's no problem there. That's easy. That's easy to do. But it isn't too easy. You and I, we are Christians. We come to church dressed as Christians. But what about the ungodly peoples that are all around and about us? How do we look upon them? How do we look upon the enemies of Christ? How do we look upon those that would run down Christ, that would try to defeat everything that the church represents? How do we look upon them? We look upon them as, boy, I just like to kick them like a bug and squish them. You know? I just like to beat them to pieces. Was that what Christ said? No, he did not. He looked upon his enemies and he blessed them. He set aside the chosen peoples long enough for the Gentile nation, his enemies, to become his friends. That is exactly where we stand today. We being at one time enemies of God. Through the grace of God, we now become the friend of Jesus. We become that church, we might say. Well, the church, as we see it today, we look upon the church as just strictly, you know, the Christian believers, right? But the church is also that Jewish nation that is set aside over there as unbelief, because for a time they were set aside that you and I might be saved. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise God. He made it possible that we could be saved. But you know, a lot of times we kind of, as Christians, we kind of get a little high-minded. We get to be a little bit proud. We get to thinking, well, I'm so much better than that other guy out there. That guy that he's out there mowing his yard today, or he's doing this, or he's doing that. He's not in church, and he's not thinking about God. He's not praying. He's not where he ought to be. But according to you and me. And we get to thinking, boy, I'm so much better off than he is. I'm glad I'm not him. Just like the two that came to the altar. When one come in and he was all puffed up when he prayed, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, I've prayed, I've done all, kept all these commandments. He said, I've done this, I've prayed twice, three times a day, I've fulfilled the law exactly. Lord, you must be real proud of me. That's exactly how a lot of us think sometimes when we get the feeling all mightier than thou or something. Anyhow, we get to thinking we're something. But just remember one thing. When we get all puffed up and all prideful and all this thing, you're ready for a fall. Amen. Pride cometh before the fall. It happens every time. You know it. You've witnessed it. You've been there. You've done that. You felt, boy, I'm right where I need to be, or I've got this one whipped, or even in your work, the thing that you do, I've done this. Oh, I can, that's me skate. I can handle that. No problem. No, if you get into it, woo, what happened? Something went wrong. It didn't work out the way it was supposed to. Yes. When we get to thinking too much of ourselves, look out, because there's going to be a fall. What about that other man that stood away over there in the corner, couldn't even lift up his eyes so much as to raise his head to look up. He was stuck, and he said to the Almighty, he said, be merciful unto me, a sinner. You see, he put himself where we need to be. He put himself down to the only thing he could see was just to pray to God, be merciful to me. I've lost it. I'm nothing. I can't do it. I can't make it. I'm at the bottom of the heap. I can't do nothing. I need your help. Yeah, that's exactly where we need to be. You know, you've seen probably people that would hit the road about here, and they call it going out witnessing to other people, you know. And they stick a Bible under their arm, and down the road they go, and start knocking on doors and all this. And, well, effort's good. Image ain't so good. They might walk right by somebody in a desperate need just to get to go witness to somebody. No, it's not how big we think we are, how right we think we are, because we are nothing except what Christ gives us. He said in his word, he moved on, he gave them an example. He said, he compared it to the tree, the olive tree, and he counted the olive tree as, well, how would you say it, the root being the base, the Almighty, and the tree supporting the branches being the believers, and these trees, this olive tree that had grown up, some of the branches have been broken off, representing the nation of Israel, the Jews. Those branches that were broken off, and they were cast aside for a while. And along came the Gentile nation, which was allowed to be grafted in to this tree. Well, I don't know whether y'all have done any grafting or not, but I got into that pretty heavy back some years back. And you go out to the house, well, maybe you've seen them while you were out there, but some of those trees out there got all kinds of different apple trees on them. Grafting is an art. And you can make, you can fail, or you can have success so easily It's so close. There's a layer on the outside of a tree that we call the bark for protection. That bark is out there, but just immediately underneath that bark, there's a little layer, and Cindy, I think it's a cambrium. I think that's the word. It's been so long, but it's a layer in which it's a soft, kind of a spongy-like, and it brings the nutrients from the root up through into the branches and the leaves, travels in that path. Just beyond it is the wood of the tree, the heavy part, which is the backbone of the sturdy part of the tree. But here we have the protection on the outside, we have the support on the inside, but in the middle we have the lifeblood. This lifeblood, this layer, it's very, very thin. It's really so thin, sometimes it's hard to see. But it carries the flow of the sap from the root to the branches. If you were to cut off that flow right there, that one little layer, it's dead. It loses life. When you graft a tree, a branch into another branch, you have to make your incision, your cut across the limb, and bring those layers exactly in line. Just precisely, perfectly in line. Where your outer bark, the cambrium layer, and the wood area are exactly. When they meet exactly right, when you bring them in, they are perfectly in line. That allows the flow from the root to go through that layer and into that branch. In doing so, that branch receives strength from the root, and it will grow and it will seal. When you get them lined up perfectly, then secure them tightly. I don't care how you do it, wrap it with string or whatever you do it, but wrap it real tightly, then seal it over so that nothing can bother. You have made a perfect graft. Then all you got to do is stand back and watch and see the little buds start to pop out of that branch. If you've done your work right, you've got a live branch. If you didn't, it'll die and fall off. Exactly what he's talking about here with you and I. When he brings you and I back to that tree, the Gentile nation, you and I were grafted in to that Jewish tree. We were grafted into that chosen nation of Israel. We were grafted in. We became part of that root. Nobody can say, I support the root. The branch does not support the root. You and I cannot say we have it made, we've got it made, and we support. We're the church, we're the power right here. We are not. We only represent it. We are only here because of his grace. Yes. But you see, when Israel was cast off, those branches fell off. There's still a place. There's still a place on that tree for that branch to be reinserted. He says there in his word that if the natural branch were cast off, how much more could we be cast off? He said, careful. Okay. But he says, if we can take a wild olive branch and graft it into a good olive tree, how much easier is it for God to graft in that good branch that fell off into the tree again? Grafted it in. That's he is promising to the nation of Israel. They will come back. as the messenger, the verse that I read to you earlier in the service, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Yes, the nation of Israel will come back. But when you speak of the nation of Israel, who is the nation of Israel? Who is the Jewish nation? Who is this? You see, are you Jew? Oh, we're Jews? Are we really? Yes. We became Jews when we were grafted in. So, this nation that's over there across the pond, that's having so much trouble right now, all this, we're a part of that nation. We definitely are. We have been grafted in. Now, he says, all Israel shall be saved. You and I and them over there, we'll all be saved. Yes, we will all come together. It's happening today. We can look on the news. We can hear about this or that or the other, where things miraculously are turning up in archaeology. Is that the word I want to use? Okay. Where they're digging up things and proving the Bible, and it's bringing all everything into focus. It's coming right down into where everything is coming together for the reuniting of the Jewish nation. Wow! It's so close. It's so close. Don't be surprised if you don't hear of a war coming up pretty soon where Israel will be involved. But the Lord God is the nation of Israel, belongs to the Almighty God, and He will protect Israel. I don't care if all them little nations over there, big nations or oil boomers or whatever's over there, they all converge on Israel, they ain't going to win. They're not. Because the Almighty God is more powerful than all of these nations. Yes, He said there in the Word. All Israel shall be saved, as it is written. You know, we talked a little bit there in Sunday school, and I don't like to talk politics a whole lot, but we better pay attention. We better pay attention to what's being said and the stand that's being taken by some of our politicians, by some of our leaders. We best pay attention as to exactly where they stand when it comes to the backing of Israel, or the turning their back on Israel. We best pay attention. Some of the things that are being said, you know, politicians love to dig dirt on their opponents. They like to find out all the nasty little things that ever happened in their life. They like to bring out these things that would cause people to doubt them. They love to do that. Is there anyone sitting in this congregation this morning that could have your life exposed completely, openly, that book being open, and every deed you've ever done, could you stand, or would you be judged? There's not one of us in this room this morning that can stand on our own. We cannot, because all have come short of the glory of God. All of us have. There's not one. But thanks be to Jesus Christ. That is the only book that we have to worry about. Is that little book that was in his hand. That little book that when we stand before him, all them nasty little things that we've done in our life, those times that we were less than what we should have been, in our book of life, we're going to get back down there and it ain't what's gone. Oh, it's not even there. Because Jesus Christ took it out. He took all those things that we've done upon himself and forgave us all those things that would condemn us. Yes. Isn't it wonderful that you don't have to worry about those things that, yes, Satan will throw up at you. Every once in a while you go, oh, yes, I knew you. You done this, you done that. You was bad. You done all these things. Satan loves to do that. And we ourselves, are probably our own biggest critic. We judge ourselves. We can't seem to sometimes get over those things that God forgave us for. They still keep popping up. What we need to do when them comes up is say, get thee behind me. Jesus Christ paid that price. He did it. It's no longer going to judge me. New Year's resolution. You ever hear about that? Everybody's going to do this, going to do that. Going to quit eating, going to lose weight. We're going to lose. I'll face it. We got all these things that we're going to do. But you know, there's one resolution that we can make that we need to keep. I'm going to do more for Jesus Christ. I'm going to do more for our church. I'm going to be more assured that we're on the right track. You know, there's so many things that we do daily our life for this church that we don't really think about. Yes, when you think about your pastor, you say a little prayer. Good, number one. We pray for each other. Yes, Darwin, I think about you when I'm out there working or something like that. Lord bless him. But right now he needs it. No, tell him what. Cindy? Yes, I think about you. Going up the river, say, keep them deer out of the way.
Yes.
Yeah, she needs our prayer. Every one of us. Nelda. When I think about you, I say, Lord, just give her that confidence that she says everything is just fine. Just a little while, and it'll all be over. And we will all rejoin together. Yes. Every one of you. There's not a one of you that doesn't cross my mind probably once a day. And when you do, you can be sure of one thing. It may not be much, but I'll say, Lord bless them, because right now they need it. Yes, we can all do more for our church. We don't have to do any great big thing. But if we do that little thing, if we just love each other, just have feelings for each other and concern. When one hurts, we all hurt. If we can just bind together just so tightly and love each other, then you don't have to worry about empty pews. They will fill. Because this world out there is crying out They're crying out for love and don't know how to find it. They will find it. Because we don't have to put the Bible under our arm and go down the road telling people how mean and vile they are. They know it. But if you love each other, there will be a love showing from this church. Then when people go by, they'll know it. They'll know it. That's where we need to be. Only the Holy Spirit can work these kind of miracles. We can't do it. Well, yeah, I go out there and pound on doors or something like this. The first thing you know, you'd be coming down to UNC to see me. Someone clobbered me. And they were right. But if we love each other, then that love will shine through this church, through this people, through this body, everyone you meet. God's good. He loves you. He wants to use you. Let him. Let him use you. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, just to reflect upon some of the things that you have left us, Lord. Some of the promises that you have given us. Some of the things, Lord, is only you. Only you can fulfill, Lord, but we couldn't. We pray, Lord, for all of Israel, all of the church, all of the peoples. Lord, we can be faithful and we can be strong until you say it's enough. We ask you, God, to be with each one of us. And Lord, that we might be, that we might work just a little harder just to hold everything together here. That we might lift each other up when we're down. Judge not one another, but pray one for another. Help us, Lord, that we can be what you'd have us to be. For, Lord, that's our desire. Just to be faithful and to do what you'd have us to do. We ask you in the name of Jesus.